Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is a good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Halloween morning. Happy spooky season to all of you. It is also a good morning, my dear friends. If you happen to be a fan of the Greenville Triumph, of the Greenville Liberty, because a massive announcement dropping yesterday at a press conference held at Bridgeway Station in lovely Malden, South Carolina. Why did they have a press conference in Malden, South Carolina, ladies and gentlemen? Because it was announced yesterday that a brand new 10,000-seat professional soccer and all the other sports facility will be built that will serve as the home of the Greenville Triumph and the Greenville Liberty. And to discuss that, we have two gentlemen that I am very fortunate to call friends both on and off the air. The president of the Greenville Triumph and Liberty, the CBO, of the Greenville Triumph and Liberty, Chris Lewis, Doug Irwin, joining us here on the show. Fellas, first off, good morning. Second off, congratulations, boys. Well done. I know this has been a fight for a minute, and it looks like it's in the bag. Bravo.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, let's get into this. And Doug, I'll start with you, bud. But, man, kind of give me the nuts and bolts on how we got here. I know there's been city council meetings and county board meetings and investors meetings and every kind of I'm sure you're meetinged out at this point. So I'm sure that press conference yesterday was a relief in at least the aspect of you don't have to wear a tie for another couple of months. But walk me through kind of the outline of how we arrived here. And how Malden ended up being the destination for the Greenville Triumph.
Sure, Rob. For us, it kind of, at least in the public eye, started in early 2022 when we did have a vote with Greenville County Council on a stadium project and a vote not to build a stadium, a vote just to talk about building a stadium. And that vote failed in the county for reasons that are beyond me a bit. And we're apparently beyond our project a bit, honestly. So we kind of went back to the drawing board from a financing standpoint and a project standpoint of what we wanted to do. But at that time, we had a lot of interest from the city of Malden, totally different body than Greenville County Council. And Malden was very interested. Bridgeway Station development in Malden was very interested. So we kept working and sharpening our pencils, to look at financing and project scope and what we could do, what we could tweak. And we would tell fans, around the upstate when they'd ask, hey, we're working on it, all day, every day. And that wasn't an exaggeration. We really were. My dad, our chairman, was taking the brunt of that work to try and look at, could we still make this possible? And through some additional, supporters coming on board at the state level from a financing perspective, but mainly from a private financing perspective, we were able to kind of pull a new look together of what a financial package would look like. All the while, costs were rising as costs of building anything did post-COVID. So, you had the challenge of trying to keep the project costs down and value engineered as much while costs were going up. But we were able to kind of find a happy medium, even though the cost has risen. And then bring it back to Malden, bring it back to Bridgeway Station and Hughes Investments. And we did that probably really 5-6 months ago. And then the last half year have been finalizing a stadium boundary, a stadium plan overall and how it's going to fit in the development, and then getting a signed agreement finally about 2 weeks ago. And knowing that as soon as we had a signed agreement, we could announce I don't even want to say the intention, because it's more than the intention, the plan to get a building coming out of the ground soon.
I love it. Chris, from the perspective of a team, like, I imagine that this is not, it's not just been a challenge to make this happen, but I know with the challenges of having games, hosting games at Legacy Early College, and then I know Furman's been a phenomenal partner for you guys in providing Paladin Stadium as a place to play, but you've got to work around the Furman athletic schedule and make sure that everything's copacetic with playing on campus, et cetera, et cetera. I know there's been a lot of challenges for the team, and I've got to assume that getting this stadium built, having a place to call home, having a pitch to practice on that's the same as you play on, which has not always been the case for you guys. From the perspective of a soccer team, this has got to be enormous news as well.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible news. And it's the things you pointed out, Rob, just from a practical standpoint, you know, being in a situation where we are the primary tenant, we're the anchor tenant of a venue, crafting our schedule in a way that's the most, you know, optimally conducive to trying to get good crowds is going to be a very big difference. I was talking to someone yesterday ahead of the announcement, and you know, they were poking around, and I said, you know, I can't really say anything now, but I'll tell you that I'm ultimately going to be in a situation that's going to be different than I've been in before. And the reason I said that is because anywhere that I've been thus far with regard to a team is there was always someone in line ahead of us for priority, for scheduling and things, where now, you know, we're going to be the priority. And that's hugely helpful. From a more base perspective, it gives the players for both teams, the coaches for both teams, you know, a place that feels like it's theirs, that they can call home. They can leave whiteboards. They can, you know, again, simple little things. The athletic trainer can leave coolers and water bottles in a cabinet and not, you know, not be nomadic every single weekend that we have a game. So from that perspective, it's a game changer for us. And then the business perspective of it is a whole different world.
I want to get to that side of it too. And I'll throw a follow-up at you real quick, Chris. And that is, as somebody who's worked in sports, all the sports, various different levels, top to bottom of the years, what does that do for a psyche of a team? What does that do for the mentality of a team to be able to, like you said, not have to worry about packing up an entire franchise's worth of stuff just to go out to train to then pack it back on the bus and leave again? How does that impact players, coaches, trainers, managers, et cetera, to be able to have a place that, you know, hey, when it says 8 o'clock, that's our pitch, that's our field, that's where we're going?
It's huge. It makes you feel like you're at home. It makes you feel like you're settled. You know, even right now with it, from a training perspective, you know, we're in the process of kind of building out a training setup, and it's taken a little bit because, again, there have been some hurdles with things involved in that, with permitting and that kind of thing, but it's getting there. But our coaches, players, our training staff, they've been super patient with it. But again, they look forward to a point when they can just roll into the parking lot, go into a locker room or go into the players' lounge and feel like they're there. So it's a situation where it just, I guess it's just a little more settling. It makes you feel like your roots are in the ground a bit more. And you can carry on your business, and you don't have to necessarily worry about things that you don't want to have to worry, you know, things that maybe you're taking for granted, like knowing you can just walk out on the practice field, knowing the coach can change the schedule if it better suits the team and the staff, and not have to jump through a bunch of hoops and hurdles to try and make sure that can happen.
Doug, from the perspective of fans, I mean, Chris is talking to us about how it impacts players, coaches, managers, administrators, et cetera, to have a spot, and that's great. But obviously, the overwhelming majority of people listening to my seductive voice this morning are the fans, are the Reedy River Riot and La Familia and Triumph fans across the upstate. What is the level of consideration when it comes to fan experience for this? Because the worst thing in the world for me is when a team has a beautiful stadium, but it's a miserable fan experience, whether it's the parking or it's the traffic or it's this, that, the other. This is a, when I say new facility, I'm not just talking about the stadium. Bridgeway Center is relatively new in terms of, you know, the buildings themselves, but the infrastructure and the parking and all that. So as you guys start to put together the build out for this project and start putting shovels into the turf and all that, how are you guys making sure that the voices and concerns of the fans are built in so that it is not just a home stadium, but a home stadium that fans are going to get up on Saturdays and come out and spend the day hanging around?
Sure. You know, I think a lot of it is working with people who have done this before, who, you know, thinking like a fan is a very dangerous thing to say in the sports world. You know, we all do it on sports talk radio, right? But you do have to think like a fan, and you have to put yourself in the shoes, Rob, of when I'm coming into a game and I'm, you know, I'm parking, I'm shopping, getting concessions, all that. What do I want? What don't I want? You know, we come from the first 6 years of the men's team, the first 3 years of the Liberty, where many of those we were at a stadium where we didn't have running water. In Legacy, and then you're at Furman, where we have, you know, permanent restrooms now, but we don't have some of the other soccer specific you know, comforts that we had of having the supporters really close to the field. And so we've got to go back and look. You know, the fun part, I think, will be maybe we get to travel around to some other stadiums around the country and see who's doing it well and take some ideas from there. But, you know, Rob, I think one of our focuses is how can we make sure that you're in your seat at the start of the game? You don't have to get up until halftime. When you go get up at halftime, it's as quick as possible. You can get back in your seat and cheer. And I think for our supporters, our most dedicated fans, you know, I know the thing they're most excited about is moving back behind one of the goals, which we can't do at Furman, but we were able to do at Legacy. You know, moving right back behind that visiting goalkeeper for a half and getting as close to the field as we can get them to torment that guy or girl and create that home field advantage, to make it easy to get concessions, to make you want to get up and get merchandise during the game. All those things I think are huge considerations. And as the process goes along, I'm sure as we've done with almost anything, we'll solicit fan feedback. We'll have some focus groups, some surveys to go along with our architecture firm that's done a lot of, you know, professional college stadium renovations, builds around the country, sort of at this scale. You know, they don't go design 100,000 seat stadiums a lot, but they design they design stuff that's impactful, that's around this region, and you know, we can relate to with the size and scope we're going. So that's important part of the process, and I know we're looking forward to getting fans involved in that.
Doug Irwin, CBO with the Greenville Triumph and Liberty. Chris Lewis, the president of the organization. Yesterday, the Triumph and Liberty announcing a new 10,000-seat professional soccer facility coming to Malden at the Bridgeway Center. And I think one of the things that you guys announced yesterday, Chris, that I love as a sports fan, obviously being a supporter of the Liberty and the Triumph as the Liberty play-by-play guy for the last couple of years, as the loudest, most obnoxious person in the building any given Saturday night when the Triumph are playing. I think my favorite thing as a sports dude is that you guys made it clear, Joe made it clear yesterday, that yes, this is the home of the Triumph and the Liberty, but you guys want to make sure that this is a facility that all sorts of teams and events can come through and utilize. Like, I love that this is, yeah, it's home of the teams wearing the green and blue, but it's also going to be the home for the community of sports around the upstate as well, Chris Lewis.
Absolutely. And Joe, you know, Joe said it remarkably well during his remarks yesterday, in that it's the people's stadium, and it's a place for everyone. And it truly is. I mean, from the get-go, this was always a discussion about this being a community asset, something that's not exclusive to just the Triumph and Liberty, but something that can help further drive tourism in the area. You know, an opportunity for us to provide Visit Greenville SC with an asset to be able to sell to other markets and sell to, you know, conventions and youth sports entities and things that are looking for homes for competitions. And that's truly what we wanted to be. And a lot of thought. And again, we're, you know, yesterday was kind of the first step and the first page in the next chapter of the book with regard to the, you know, the history of the club. And a big piece of what comes next for myself and Doug and Joe and the partners that are working with us on this is talking about what does it look like? What does the seating manifest look like? What are the hospitality areas and premium areas look like? And doing that, not just with Triumph and Liberty matches in mind, but doing it with, if we host an international friendly, what does that look like? If we're hosting the ACC soccer championship and hopefully the College Cup there at some point, if we're hosting the SoCon championship, high schools championships there, what does that look like? What does it look like for non-soccer events? So that it can be a place that's functional and ultimately, and probably most importantly, that provides a great experience for patrons and partners who are coming to the venue for whether it's soccer, football, lacrosse, a car show, a beer festival, a concert, etc.
One of the things that I've said to you fellas, and we'll do one more, and if you guys have the time, I'd love to keep you around for one more because I do have a handful more questions, both about the experience, the stadium, and what game day is going to look like. But one of the things that we've said, and Doug, you kind of addressed this a little while ago, that I have loved about this organization, the Greenville Triumph, since I got here, is I don't think I have worked in the 17 plus years I've been doing this. I don't think I've ever worked with a team that does a better job with fan interaction. In fact, I got a kick yesterday after the press conference when Joe Irwin came off the stage and walked out to the crowd. And he's one of the very few owners I've ever been around, guys, where members of the supporters group, and I'm not just talking about the administration, the president of the supporter group and all, I'm just talking the dudes and dudettes in this group, could walk up to Joe and shake his hand and say congratulations, and he knows them by name, and he knows where they work, and he knows what they do, etc. The fascination to me with this team has always been its connection with the community, and the fact that Malden is, I don't want to say a new community to you guys, because there's Triumph supporters all around the upstate, but in terms of playing games, being there, being involved, etc., a brand new spot. So how did you guys make sure that these conversations were with Malden were going well so that this relationship could build to a point where they said, yeah, we'll take your 10,000 seat stadium. Let's do this.
I think, Rob, it's definitely never giving up and realizing that you know, a no vote in the start was a setback. And during, you know, after that no vote, as we're, you know, going through, we told them, and I think it's just transparency and relationships and saying, hey, guys, so that didn't work. We don't want to give up on this, but at the same time, we do have to consider other sites, and letting them know that the whole time. And they understood. And I think some of it, it's relationships, but it's also just credit to what great people there are in Malden right now that we've been working with the last couple of years, because they were understanding of, we have to look at other sites, and we did look at other sites, and we were in pretty serious discussions with some other sites too. You know, there were plenty of points, I think, where Chris or I would tell you, we were feeling quite confident we had a home somewhere else. And then for one reason or another, that didn't end up panning out. And when, but the whole time is checking in on the folks in Malden, seeing if there was possibility to do this again, there was still interest. And I think we were really excited when we were able to kind of revisit Malden with a fresh approach and to say, wait, we've got another shot at this. We could get it done. Because again, we knew there was so much excitement from Malden leadership, from Bridgeway Station leadership. So, I think that, you know, to come full circle like that has been great. And, you know, I think you look too, we go back to some of the reasons we wanted to be involved in the first place, and those reasons still stand, if not, they're even more true now, which is you look at an economic heat map of where growth is in Greenville. You look at where our season ticket holders are by zip code. It's all right there in Malden-Simpsonville, and Bridgeway's right on the way. You know, it's 15 minutes or less to downtown, depending on traffic on 385. So You know, it's a great, if you can't be smack in the middle of Main Street and in Greenville, and you can't anymore because all that land has been taken up and down Main Street, then this is the place where you want to be.
Beautiful. All right, we got to run to a break. We've got Chris Lewis, president of the Triumph at Liberty, Doug Irwin, CBO. They're going to hang with us through the break when we come back. Couple more questions about the new 10,000-seat stadium announced yesterday, including the one that I know Doug's really excited to answer. How's it getting paid for? And also one I care more about, grass or turf. Let's find out when we come back. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob and Darth Lonzo with you here on a Halloween morning, celebrating all things very spooky this day. And then other things that aren't so spooky, things that are actually quite exciting, like the fact that if you missed it in the last segment, well, I'm glad you're here. A brand new 10,000-seat soccer facility coming to the upstate of South Carolina, specifically the fine folks of Malden, South Carolina, at the Bridgeway Center. Joining us to talk about that this AM, the president of the Greenville Triumph, the CBO of the Greenville Triumph, Chris Lewis, Doug Irwin here on the show. And we appreciate the time, fellas. Let's get to the question that I don't frankly know how long-winded it will or won't be. And I'll let either one of you that's more comfortable with the answer have at it. But it is obviously the question that I got asked the most yesterday to ask you about today, and that is, how's this thing getting paid for? Because I know that there have been questions about taxes and recreational taxes and hospitality taxes, and I'm a big dumb guy. That's why all my jobs involve talking about sports, so that I don't have to worry about the dollars and cents. I'll leave that to the professionals. Fellas, what's the funding for this stadium shaping up to look like?
Yeah, Rob, I'll kind of tell you where we're at so far, and you know, preface it with none of it's finalized. It's not going to hold up construction. Construction is going to get underway very soon. But you know, the big key with this project is it's a public-private partnership. We didn't feel it was fair to just try and hold out our hats asking for money to build a stadium. You know, that's not very collaborative. But we do want to have public partners that are staked in this, and they're public partners that wanted to be involved with this. So, you know, we have some money from Malden that was originally set aside in 2022 coming into the project that they had appropriated, that's contributing. One of the things that was new this go around in getting things planned is the state of South Carolina, and them appropriating money in their state budget, for 2025, for this project. And there's the potential to have more down the road from the state of South Carolina to contribute. And, you know, a lot of these public contributions are not, hey, this is so the Greenville Triumph can play soccer, you know, 15 times a year, and the Greenville Liberty can play 6-7 times a year. It's for all the other activities we talked about. It's for concerts, festivals. It's the ability to do extra locker rooms so we can bring in high school tournaments, college tournaments. You know, that's the important thing to remember is, even though we're going to be the anchor tenants of this, you said in the last segment, this is about much more than Triumph and Liberty soccer. So that's where I think the interest from the public bodies came. And then the biggest chunk of funding by far is coming from the team. And it's coming in the form of cash and rent and maintenance and all the big things that make a stadium go. And it's important for us you know, carry the heaviest share of that burden and put our money where our mouth is on making this thing successful. And right now the project is scoped at $80 to $100 million. That's pretty wide range, obviously. And we're hoping to nail down a final design in the next few months as we already begin site work on the design, to be able to dial those costs in. And I think the important thing, Rob, to the last bit of your question is this is not something where we or anyone plans to levy a new tax on residents. You know, everybody wants a stadium until they hear that they're getting taxed on a new stadium. There is the potential to tap into pre-existing tax money like hospitality tax, but you know, not to delve too quickly into politics, just and not that I know much about it, but I do know that a hospitality tax is you know, taxes on hotels and things from visitors to the region, not taxes that you or I tend to pay. So a hospitality tax is something that's intended for things like this. You generate hospitality tax to reinvest in hospitality projects to create more hospitality tax is what I've always been told by local government officials on both sides of the aisle. So we do hope that we're able to tap into some of that, you know, to help pay for the project, because we think that the, you know, the number of hotel rooms we're going to fill, the number of people we're going to have dining out pre, post game, during these events is going to generate a lot of revenue and a lot of hospitality tax for the upstate, and increase that sports tourism. So I know that's something that Visit Greenville is really excited about, the whole region. So that's what we're looking at right now. And, if I'm short on specifics, it's because we're still pulling them all together for the financing for the project. But, you know, again, I think what listeners can take home is this is a partnership where the teams are bringing the bulk of the money into the project. And, we don't plan to ask people to put new tax dollars aside to help pay for the stadium, which is very important.
I got like $60. Can I get like a urinal named after me or something?
Hey, we can work on that. Yeah. Bang. It might be a trough for $60, but yeah.
I mean, the Rob Brown Memorial Trough is going to be an all-time career highlight for me. Chris Lewis, Doug Irwin joining us here from the Greenville Triumph on the Rob Brown Show. Here's a question I've had asked three times on the text line so far, and I love that people care about this because it shows you, boys, that we got an audience that knows ball. Turf? Grass? What's our playing surface going to look like, or have we made it to that stage yet?
There's been a good bit of discussion about that. The way that I've answered this kind of over the last couple years is it depends who was in Joe's ear last.
Tyler Pollock.
If it was a turf or grass system vendor, it's whatever they were selling because it sounds like it was the best thing that's ever been created. If it was a player, a coach, someone on the technical side who's living it every day, it absolutely should be grass. We've certainly done research and have been investigating both avenues. I think nowadays too, there's a lot more viability for doing some kind of grass or grass hybrid where it's not going to be dead after you pick up all the plastic, the covering, protective covering, if you do a concert, a car show, whatever it may be. But definitely have not made a definitive decision on it yet. But that said, too, on the artificial side, the turf nowadays plays almost exactly like grass in some cases. So I don't know that we can necessarily go wrong or that somebody's going to feel super aggrieved one way or the other in terms of playing on it.
I mean, you can ask David Tepper. Somebody's going to be real mad at it no matter what you do. So I'm intrigued to see the decision-making process when we get to that point. Do we have, fellas, I kind of yesterday was waiting, are we going to get a rendering or not, before I got the opportunity to really sit down and talk to you about where we are in the process. But where are we in the process in terms of design planning, and when do we expect, I guess really the most important part of this question is, when do we expect a shovel to hit the dirt, and when do we expect to be able to march for the first time?
Well, Rob, one of the fun things that I told a couple people yesterday is yesterday seemed like the kickoff, but there's been stuff going on at the site already the last month or two, and they aren't sexy building things yet. It's you know, getting soil samples and drilling in the ground and checking for you know, where we're going to sink our biggest supports and how's that process going to go. What does the ground look like? Are we going to have to do any blasting? Probably not. So that work's been going on for 2 months or so, and that was, you know, a calculated risk we took, knowing we didn't have a signed agreement, but to keep on the timeline we're all hoping for, we needed to go ahead and get going. So so we're hoping for groundbreaking in Q1 of 2025. So, you know, January, February, March. And, you know, groundbreaking, yes, but grading and everything could be happening over the winter, you know, weather provided is what we're hoping. So, from a rendering standpoint, you know, we've looked at designs again, going back to the theme of doing stuff before we had a signed agreement, because we felt like we were headed towards a signed agreement and all the parties felt like that, even while we were working through the necessary legal steps. You know, we've been doing renderings behind the scenes. We've been doing design work behind the scenes. We've carried over some of the things from the 2022 project in terms of the foundation of the stadium, the locker rooms, and, you know, the layout on that land at Bridgeway to be able to get all the back of house functional stuff people don't see. And then we've updated our designs a lot too. So we're getting closer on renderings. I don't want to hold us to a date, but I'm hoping that by the end of the year or soon after into 2025, first couple of weeks, that we've got some renderings to put out, certainly by groundbreaking. But, you know, we're feeling great about the direction we're headed, the amenities we've got baked into the stadium design, and hoping to have renderings out for everybody, like I said, across the next 2 months or so.
Beautiful, beautiful. And make sure the Rob Brown Memorial Trough is in those renderings. Rob, we've got Doug Irwin and Chris Lewis here from the Greenville Triumph. Boys, I will leave the last minute or two open-ended for anything that you guys want to say, any message you want to send out to Upstate Triumph fans, maybe folks that have kind of been on the borderline, do I go, do I not, about just basically this whole situation. Give you about 30, 45 seconds each to send out a final message to the people listening.
Well, you know, I'd reiterate what Joe conveyed yesterday, which is we don't get to this point without the support of our fans, without the support of our partners, you know, our community partners, some of the civic entities in town that, quite honestly, from the get-go, helped bring this club to Greenville when the USL started inquiring about this new league that they were developing and looking for new markets for it. You know, to your point, Rob, there's always going to be something that somebody's not happy with. There are folks that are not necessarily, they're not unhappy, but they're, you know, I really wish it was on Main Street kind of thing. But that said, you know, we're committed to making it the best venue we can for our fans, our partners, for the community, for the upstate as a whole. You know, one of my responses in a text chain last night was, the league wouldn't let us be Upstate Triumph. And as Joe says, you know, according to the league, you need to be from somewhere. But we're really the Upstate's pro soccer team. We're the Upstate's pre-professional women's soccer team. And we want this to be the home for everybody in the Upstate. We are going to do everything we can to make it the coolest, most fun, fulfilling experience for whether it's Triumph Liberty matches or it's high school, college, international, car shows, whatever it may be, really making it another crown jewel that makes this area one of those places that consistently makes best of lists. So thank you to the community. Thank you to our fans and our partners and our community partners. We couldn't do it without you, and we look forward to continuing to do it with you.
Doug?
Yeah, really quick, I'd say, you know, to build on everything Chris said, the biggest thing fans can do now is support us, you know, Saturday in our playoff game at Furman, Saturday afternoon, and sign up for season tickets for 2025. Get in line, get your seat priority order. You know, those people in 26 that are going to have the best seats are people that have been with us or will join us ahead of 2026 for tickets. And get your tickets. Come out Saturday. It's going to be a great ride.
I love it. I love it. Doug Irwin, CBO of the GVL Triumph. Chris Lewis, president of the club as well. And by the way, sexy construction worker for Halloween costumes for the boys. I think you're going to pull it off well. Fellas, appreciate y'all coming by. Thank you. And again, man, congratulations. It has been a blast to watch this whole thing play out. I, on behalf of the Riot, who I have absolutely no authority to speak on behalf of, but will anyway, hell yeah!
Thanks, Cass.
And Rob, we'll talk to you off air about the Rob Brown Trust Fund, which is really, that's how I've answered, how is this going to be paid for?
Yep.
So we'll talk to you off air about
yep,
that.
Yep.
I knew it. We all knew it.
Yep. Lonzo, why do you think he suggested naming a trough after me? We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up our number two here on this lovely Halloween Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up on the show, 8 o'clock straight up on the dot, Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News will swing by. We will talk to Lulu about the South Carolina Gamecocks as they are getting set to host the Cult of Texas A&M. We will both break that game down and do our best to tell Lulu to stay away from A&M fans because they're a cult and they're weird. Okay, so we'll talk to Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock. Then, after Lulu Kessin, yesterday I got the opportunity to sit down and speak with ESPN's Marty Smith. And we will play that interview for you right after Lulu at 7:20. Then, no Rashad Beard today, unfortunately. He actually has to do his real job today. So no Rashad Beard to end the next hour. He will return to the broadcast tomorrow to break down this Panthers-Saints game. Then at 9 o'clock, Hayton Ass Mario from the BetQL Network will join us. We will talk all the news and notes around the National Football League and perhaps dive into the NBA briefly as well.
Has Mario been told about the dress code?
You know what? I did not talk to Mario about the dress code. I'll send him a text. Be like, hey, find a costume. Find a car, or just dress like yourself. It's scary enough. Heyo. Then at 9:20.
You should come as a surfer, bro.
He does every single Thursday.
I know.
At 9 o'clock.
But he should just go, whoa, and gnarly a bunch.
If he doesn't dress as Spicoli, I feel like he's failed. Like, right? Like, he doesn't, that's not even.
That was my skull.
That's not even a costume for Mario. That's just like, put on a tank top, you know? Just put on a tank top. And you'll be good to go.
I don't know. You might get hurt if you put on a tank top where he lives now. I'm just saying.
It's also very cold in D.C. We'll see. Mario at 9 o'clock. And then Fight Club with the great one Lonzo coming up for you all throughout the rest of the show. So if you want to get in, right now is a great time to do it. We want you to do it at 844-FAN-FONE. That's 844-FAN-FONE. That is the renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone.
Are you about to give your own phone number?
No, I actually still have my old Florida area code. I did change my license plate.
You said 864.
That's not my area code.
No, it's this area code.
Right, but that's not, no, my phone number is not 864.
Oh, okay, all right, I get it now. Okay.
My area code is still Florida. I changed my license plate on time, but not my phone number. I will keep that one. Mario at 9 o'clock, Fight Club at 9:20. Anywhere you want to get it in and fit it in between here and there, you are welcome to do so. 864-448-3772. Text us 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. And, of course, you can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. Tweet us all at The Fan Upstate. Listen, I don't have a take. Because we've only got a couple of minutes until we go to the top of the hour break and get Lulu Kessin lined up. So instead, since we're not doing the audio blitz in the next segment, and then we have Marty Smith, Lonzo, we have a new Xavier Leggett bite. Are you prepared? Are you mentally prepared as Xavier Leggett and the Panthers get ready to go to Germany?
Do it.
I did the thing again.
Wow.
I did the thing again.
Such a Jedi thing to do. You know, a Sith... would have worked. So many things. Why would you play that?
Where do we start? Where do we start?
There's so much stuff there.
Where do we start? Asparagus. All right.
Asparagus.
I don't eat asparagus. Why don't you eat seafood? I'm allergic. Allergic. Because I'm allergic. I love this. I adore this man. Do you understand? Xavier Leggett is the one cat in the existence of the Carolina Panthers and their divisional rivalry with the New Orleans Saints. There have been players that have come through Carolina that I've liked. Luke Kuechly, Steve Smith, despite the fact that he was the world's biggest bleep talker. Cam, Dan Morgan. There have been a lot of players that played in Carolina that I liked, but there have been zero that I like actively rooted for as a player, right? Like, I want to see them do well. Guys I liked. They're fun. Xavier Leggett, I am openly rude. I hope Xavier Leggett scores a touchdown against New Orleans on Sunday. I hope he gets in the end zone Sunday. While I'm there, I hope I'm next to Rashad Beard, because I'm going to tell you straight up, I will be adorned in black and gold, maybe. And if Xavier Leggett gets in the end zone, I might ride dollar bill with him.
Listen, if you and you and Rashad are both riding dollar bill, it might look weird. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, the guy is a national treasure, Xavier Leggett.
Someone needs to tell him, though, that the string peas and green beans are actually vegetables.
Listen, I don't think Xavier Leggett's all that worried about it. You know? Like, I don't think he's all that worried about it. He likes what he likes. He don't like what he don't like. And he owns it. And I respect that. I respect that. My man said, I don't eat vegetables except for these 10 vegetables that I eat, right? This dude said, why don't you eat seafood? I'm allergic. What's your favorite vegetable? I don't eat asparagus. I've never had asparagus, but I bet it's not that good if Xavier Leggett says it's not that good. This dude's a treasure, man. Keith and TR says Xavier is a South Carolina treasure. Bingo. Exactly. Spot on. Precisely. Xavier Leggett must be protected at all cost. We ride to war Xavier Leggett.
It's hard to protect him with where he's playing, though. I mean,
that's fair.
You know,
that team's bad, dude. That team's so bad. I mean, at this point, like, it's not, but like, it's just bad.
The Panthers are my other team, and I can't.
They're bad.
I didn't watch last week. I mean, I saw what highlights there were on Red Zone, but I recorded the game and was going to go back and watch. I just couldn't. It hurts your heart. It's so bad.
Yes, I'm not going to push back on that. It's painful. Again, I want this team to succeed, and I want this team to succeed because I get paid more when they do, and I'm a big fan of getting paid, all right? And there are guys I like. I don't care, unabashedly pulling for Bryce Young, pulling for him, to the point that there's a little bit of me that hopes he gets traded, goes somewhere else, and blows up, because if Darnold does it, and Bake does it, and Bryce does it, then maybe there's massive institutional change coming down the pipe. We'll talk more about this later in the show when we come back. Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News is going to join us here on the radio broadcast to break down this Gamecock v. Aggies game, the Gamecocks and the Colt coming up this Saturday night at Willoughby. We'll talk about that with Lulu Kessin. Then my interview with Marty Smith from ESPN. Then Hate and Ask Mario at 9. Then Fight Club at 9:20. But Sports Flash right now.
You guys have no idea how hard it is to do this wearing this. The Los Angeles Dodgers are 2024 World Series champions after taking Game 5 from the New York Yankees 7-6 and claiming the series 4-1. New York led by 5 going into the fifth inning, but committed multiple mistakes that allowed the Dodgers to tie the game. New York took the lead back in the sixth, but a pair of Dodgers runs in the eighth sealed the win. Bryce Young will get another start at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers this Sunday against division rival New Orleans. The second-year quarterback out of Alabama will get the nod as Andy Dalton continues to rehab his sprained thumb. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at noon as the Furman Paladins take on the VMI Cadets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Paladins football. It is us. It is right here. It is the Fan Upstate.
Come Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.